Brentuximab vedotin, as you mentioned, is an antibody-drug conjugate. The other one that we hear a lot about is T-DM1 in HER2-positive breast cancer. Can you explain what an antibody-drug conjugate is and exactly what B-vedotin is, how it works, and what kind of toxicity issues you see?
Absolutely. So CD30 is a protein that sits on the Reed-Sternberg cell, which is the malignant cell in Hodgkin's and is the minority of cells. When you do a biopsy in Hodgkin's, you see a small number, 1% or less of cells, and these are surrounded by lots of other cells. So using the success of rituximab in B-cell lymphomas and targeting non-Hodgkin lymphoma and targeting CD20, an antibody was devised to CD30, and it had really no activity. And fortunately, after that experience, the companies didn't give up on that as a target and actually combined this antibody to CD30 with a chemotherapy drug called MMAE, which is a microtubule inhibitor and prevents cells from being able to divide. And this has been a very successful drug. It binds to the surface of the Reed-Sternberg cell and is taken into the cell. And then the chemotherapy drug is released and it kills the cell. So the type of toxicity that we see with this drug is predominantly peripheral neuropathy, which can be quite significant, particularly if patients have had prior vinblastine. It can also cause drops in blood counts, and there are a number of rare side effects like pancreatitis or liver dysfunction, though in general, it is well tolerated. You just have to watch people for the peripheral neuropathy, which can be motor neuropathy, whereas with vinblastine and vincristine, that typically tends to be sensory neuropathy. Sometimes you see motor with brentuximab vedotin.
You were mentioning that in the higher risk patients who've had transplant, B-vedotin is often used as a consolidation or maintenance for a year. What typically happens in the year in terms of neuropathy? Are most of the patients able to get through a year of this without neuropathy? And what do they first complain about in your clinical experience?
So I think most patients don't get through the whole year because the majority of them have had prior vinblastine, and the two together seem to be higher risk for developing peripheral neuropathy. And people tend to complain of similar issues in terms of numbness and tingling in the fingers and toes that gets progressively worse over time. And then I've had some patients develop some foot drop or frank weakness from continued treatment. So we try to, particularly because it's given as maintenance and we don't have measurable disease, I think we're quick to drop the drug when we see that you're about, you know, we don't want patients to develop motor neuropathy, so we try to drop it quickly when we see trouble.
You were mentioning that in the relapse setting, or maybe, I don't know if that's true in general, you see a 30% complete response rate with brentuximab. What do you see in those people who have complete responses? You know, again, the relapse, not the pre-transplant setting, in terms of how long these complete responses last.
Some of them can be quite durable, and there's been a couple of publications that have shown of the patients who have complete remissions, there are a subset of patients who can go on to have continued complete remissions and may even be cured by brentuximab. So the overall response rate is 75%. So it is a very active drug, and I think once we start using it up front, we'll have to see how things shake out in terms of the maintenance and down the line use, but it can be a very effective drug.